Welcome into the Bear Down Podcast right here on the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Black along with Adam Abdallah. You can listen to our show weeknights 6 to 8 on ESPN 1000. Tuesdays and Thursdays, we bring to you the Bear Down Podcast talking football, the Chicago Bears in the NFL. And Abdallah, this week, obviously the week in between the NFC, AFC Championship games and the Super Bowl, we have our matchup, Philadelphia and Kansas City, for the Super Bowl next week. We will preview that game here on this podcast next week. We also have huge news in the NFL this week with Tom Brady announcing his retirement. So as a Bears fan, when you take a look at the current landscape of the NFC and the NFL overall, it really feels like it is all about opportunity for the Chicago Bears. The most cap space, the number one pick, really a fresh start for this franchise. And you already have your quarterback. So when you look around the NFC, Philadelphia, I think, will be good for a long time. San Francisco, I think they'll be good for a long time. And outside of that, it's not like the conference, the NFC, really has a bunch of powerhouses. And then also, to add to that mix, rumors again this week from Adam Schefter about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers possibly wanting to explore a trade at some point this offseason. It seems to me the entire conference is almost up for grabs, except for two teams, and the two teams that we saw in the NFC Championship game last week.
Yes and no, because I was just looking through the conference, and I was like, all right, who are the two? Let's assume Aaron Rodgers is gone, right? Let's just assume he's gone. Who are the two best quarterbacks in the conference then?
It's probably Jalen Hurts and Dak Prescott.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Jalen Hurts and Dak Prescott. Because besides that, I mean, is Stafford still a viable option if he comes back healthy?
Stafford healthy would be number one.
Okay. Kyler Murray?
Then I would place Dak number two.
Okay.
Kyler and Jalen are 3-4.
Are the Seahawks set on Geno Smith? What are the 49ers going to do? Like, Brock Purdy, like, it's coming out today that 6 to 9 months for his Tommy John surgery, the entire NFC South doesn't have a quarterback. Yeah. The entire NFC South, Atlanta, New Orleans, Carolina, and Tampa now do not have quarterbacks. And a couple of those teams might be tanking for a Caleb Williams in next year's draft. So then you look at the East, where we think that two of the best quarterbacks are in Jalen Hurts and Dak Prescott, and then I still don't believe in Daniel Jones, and I don't know what Washington's doing at quarterback. I don't think they know either. And then in the North, Justin Fields might be the best quarterback in the North if Aaron Rodgers leaves, because what? You've got Jordan Love, Kirk Cousins, and Jared Goff?
Well, statistically, it's Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
He had a good year last year.
Yeah.
Give him credit for that.
But who would you rather have?
If you're building to the future, it's a different answer. But if you said who's the best quarterback right now, it's Kirk Cousins. I don't want him as my quarterback for the future, or if I'm a team trying to win or get to the Super Bowl, I don't want him as my quarterback.
But
he's the best quarterback, though, in the division.
But if all things are equal, and the Bears are playing the Vikings, all things are equal, talent level, everything else,
I'd rather have Justin Fields.
Yeah.
But statistically, Cousins is the better quarterback.
All right. So statistically, for now, Cousins is the better quarterback.
Yeah. Well, I'm just giving you...
They were all proven to be big phonies in the playoffs.
Just so we don't sound like straight-up homers.
No,
that,
I understand
I'm just
that.
Pointing out that they...
But we said this last
clearly,
year, too. We said going into last year...
Well, yeah,
year,
but if you and I are building teams, I'm never taking Cousins as my quarterback.
Yeah, of course not. Of course not.
So I would rather have a younger... still to develop quarterback in Fields than Cousins.
Yeah.
Cousins is exactly what we've seen from him. But as far as, you know, who had the better season, you can't argue
that Fields had
a better season than Kirk Cousins.
I'm saying when we get to next season and we're doing like predictions or whatever, that as of right now, the quarterbacks in the NFC are Dak, Jalen Hurts, Stafford, Kyler Murray.
I would also say the same conversation we just had about the Vikings, you can apply the same thing to the Lions. Jared Goff had a better season than Justin Fields.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Theoretically, he's a better quarterback. I would rather have Fields than Goff.
Yeah, but again, the stuff around him is better. He's got the better offensive line. He's got the better weapon.
But statistically, yes. He had better passing numbers than Justin Fields last year.
But if you're looking at the court, like I'm happy that the Bears are in the NFC. looking at the future of this team, because, you know, you have to compete with the Joe Burrows and the Patrick Mahomes and, you know, wherever Aaron Rodgers ends up and, you know, whatever ends up happening to Lamar Jackson and, you know, and Justin Herbert. So there's like so many more quarterbacks in the AFC that the Bears have a great option in Justin Fields when it comes to the depth of quarterback position in the NFC.
What do you think Washington does? Tyler Heinicke, they also had Carson Wentz this year. Sam Howell played a game because of injuries. And Jake Fromm. Those are the quarterbacks on their depth chart. I feel like Washington is a sleeper contender to be in play for one of these quarterbacks that may be bounced around, whether it be Derek Carr. It could be, you know, there's a few names that are out, like Garoppolo. Could that be a spot for Garoppolo, Washington? Mm-hmm.
It could be. I mean, look, they were 8-8-1 last year. They have the 16th pick in this year's draft, so you're not getting a quarterback in this draft that you're, like, building around, right? You're not getting – Will Levis is not falling to 16. C.J. Stroud is not falling to 16. Now, are they a candidate to trade up with that pick? They could be.
Possibly.
They could trade that pick and then get, you know, move up and maybe trade with, if someone starts to fall, maybe trade with, I doubt they trade with Indianapolis because they want their quarterback, but they could trade with Carolina. They could trade with Seattle at 5. What if they traded with Seattle at 5? Because Seattle trusts Geno Smith and they're like, we're going to be good with Geno. We'll trade with Washington and they end up with Will Levis or they end up with, you know, C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young or whatever. They could, but again, it could be Derek Carr. He's like, between him and Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, is Tannehill on the move? Like, I don't know Tannehill's contract situation right now. But because of Tom Brady retiring, there's like the options of quarterback go down. And I think that helps the Bears and their draft capital right now because there are less quarterbacks. It's supply and demand. There's less quarterbacks available. So people are going to want where there's like the best quarterback ever is no longer available to teams to sign as a free agent. So like he couldn't go to the 49ers. He couldn't go to Washington. He can't go to the Jets. So like that, I think that helps the Bears and raises the price of that number one overall pick.
So to answer your question about Tannehill will be a free agent in 2024. He has a void year in his contract. And he will have a cap hit of $9 million.
Ooh, that's not bad. You could cut him.
But this year, you can't. So 23, he's under contract for this final season. 27, but his cap number is 36. So I will say the dead cap number for Tannehill is only 18. So if you had a much better solution for Tennessee, perhaps you could eat the 18, but I don't see that taking place. They also took Malik Willis last year in the draft, so wouldn't you imagine they're still going to try and develop him, keep Tannehill for one more season, and then he'll be a free agent next year, and he'll only have a cap hit of $9 million.
What does Baker Mayfield do?
I think Baker will be...
He's a free agent.
He will be spit out in the back end of the quarterback roulette.
Why doesn't he go to Washington? That defense, they're already 8-8. I feel like Washington wouldn't be a horrible landing spot for Baker Mayfield. Like, is he better than Heinicke?
I actually had a different idea with Baker. I don't think you're wrong. I think Washington might be a good spot. The other spot that I was thinking about is New Orleans.
Ooh, okay. I was going to go with the Jets maybe too. I think you need a defense to support his possible screw-ups. Right,
New Orleans kind of good defensively, and Washington absolutely, and the Jets. You're right.
I think you need the defense for Baker for when he throws interceptions, and like you need to stop that, right? Like, because he's going to throw interceptions. Now, so to me, you need that. You need that stopgap.
Is there a team that could give Baker a chance, kind of like what Seattle gave Geno Smith a chance, where they're okay with him being the guy? Or is he always going to be in situations where he's going to a team that drafted a young player and then he has to compete and then eventually the young player just jumps his spot on the roster?
Well, I don't think if you're one of these teams that's bringing in a top quarterback, if you're Houston, Indianapolis, Carolina, like I don't think you're going to bring in Baker Mayfield for that purpose. So I think maybe the Jets, because I don't think Zach Wilson's the guy, and I think they're. I think if we're right about someone so far, we were right about Zach Wilson, and I think that to me would be the only place where he would compete for a spot, right? But if he signs to Washington, he's the guy in Washington. If he signs in New Orleans, he's the guy in New Orleans. Like, Dalton is whatever he is, and I don't know what they're doing with Jameis Winston. So I think those are the two spots where he's the guy, where if you want in New York to bring in competition, if you can't trade for Aaron Rodgers, because if they trade for Aaron Rodgers, he's the guy, right? Like, he's not competing with Zach Wilson or anything like that. So if he signs with the Jets, then you would say, hey, we're bringing in Baker Mayfield, because there would mean that there's no market for Baker Mayfield. He's got to sign a low deal. He's going to go in. They're going to say he's competing. The organization really wants to go with Zach Wilson because they want to be right about their draft pick, right? But they're going to say, like, hey, like, they're going to have a true competition between Zach Wilson and Baker Mayfield.
You know what's interesting is when you also look at, like, the NFC South, Tampa Bay and the retirement information of Tom Brady walking away, like, they are stuck. Like, that's it, man. We've discussed how the Los Angeles Rams had a philosophy of trading away first-round picks to bring in players who are known commodities, right?
Mm-hmm.
And star-level guys who immediately can contribute. And that's how they built their team. And for better or worse, they win a Super Bowl. But then also, if you have injuries to those star players, you immediately turn into dust. Like, the team is absolutely not able to compete whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a fine way to go about it, but it's also not the NBA. So chances are, in more years than not, that your stars are all going to get injured, because that's just how football kind of works, is usually injuries happen and you have to navigate the season doing so. The Buccaneers are like that on steroids. They are negatively at $55 million of cap space.
Yeah.
Like, they have no room to enhance their roster whatsoever.
Yeah.
And so they need a quarterback. They have no cap space. And they really, quite frankly, for going into the future, they have no real hope. Like, what's the hope for the Buccaneers going forward? Like, that is a team that's going to be bad for quite some time. Because at least the Rams could say, Donald healthy, Ramsey healthy, Stafford healthy, Kupp healthy, we're going to compete to win our division. If those guys are healthy, they're still in the mix. With Tampa Bay, what do you have to offer?
Well, you don't. You blow it up. And you enter the Caleb Williams sweepstakes. That's what you do.
Yeah.
You blow it up. You trade Mike Evans. You see what you can get for Julio Jones. Like, you trade Chris Godwin. Like, you just start picking off pieces, right? And you trade everything that you have. And you just bottom out. And you got your Super Bowl. Brady got you the Super Bowl. That's what you signed him for.
Yeah, both teams won Super Bowl that we're talking about. Rams and Bucks.
So you got it. And now I feel like the Rams less so, because they have more star power that they need to take care of. Like, Aaron Donald's a free agent. Jalen Ramsey's, like, you need to start thinking about signing some of these guys before they become free agents. But with Tampa, you don't have the quarterback. At least the Rams have Stafford, right? Like, he's serviceable when healthy. If you're Tampa, you blow this up. And you're just like, we're going to be real bad, and we're going to try to get Caleb Williams, and we're going to try to rebuild this thing again, right? That, to me, is what you would do. That's what I would recommend them do. See what the Bears can get from Mike Evans.
Well, you know who's interesting is what about Vita Vea?
Yeah.
He's a free agent in 27.
Okay.
He is 27 years old right now.
Perfect.
He's under contract for the next few years, but his number is pretty low. It's like $15 million a year.
Perfect.
As a defensive line interior player, I like disruptor.
Yeah.
He's a solid player.
I would like that. Go call. Give him a call.
He led the Bucks in sacks last year at 6.5, which is super low, but still.
Because here's the thing with the Bucks, right? If you couldn't have Tom Brady get you there, who's going to get you there?
You're not.
Right? Like, Tom Brady did look bad at times, but you had guys dropping receivers. The defense was bad. Like, you need to blow this up if you're Tampa and just be the worst. And try to get Caleb Williams. Why not?
Is Devin White worth anything to you?
Let me
He's a first-round pick from 2019. He had 5.5 sacks last year. Linebacker. Yeah. He had 73 tackles.
Yeah.
I mean, he's only 24.
He's 24, yeah. Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out ways to improve the defense without going through the draft, because I feel like that's what Ryan Poles is going to have to do. He's going to have to find pieces defensively to piece this together to build it back up.
It depends. Do they sign Daron Payne in the offseason before the draft, and then they stay away from Jalen Carter because of that, because they have the big guy in the middle? And do they then, how many times are they trading back? Like, do they stop at 4? Do they trade back at 9? Because if you trade back to 9, to me, you're not getting Carter or Anderson. So you're probably going to have to go with Quentin Johnson as wide receiver. So to me, there's more later in the draft, yes, but it all depends on where they end up, really, and what they do in the, like, what they do in free agency first.
I wonder what you could trade for Vita Vea. To get him.
Second round pick.
It'd be nice to have one that you just used on Chase Claypool.
You still have. Well, see, but here's the thing, though. Like, if you trade.
But you're right. If you're able to move back multiple times in the first round, you can collect assets to then spin off to try and get other players.
Well, you could trade your second round pick now and just know that we're going to be able to get more back. Like, I know. Like, would you draft Vita Vea with the second overall, with the second round pick?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, then trade your second round pick for him.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's simple, right? And then you hope to me, it's not giving up a lot, because if you would draft him in that position, then why not just trade for that and then trade back your number one pick to 2 or to 4 or to 9 or wherever and get another second round pick out of that deal. Get that team's second round pick.
He had a career high last year in tackles for loss was 7. He had 13 quarterback hits with 6.5 sacks. Like, that's a player on a team that's going nowhere that maybe you could use some draft capital to bring in.
Yeah.
Who's in his prime. He's 27. He's under contract. He'll be here for a few years. And, like, that's the other piece of this is you and I keep talking about this narrow window that Ryan Poles is going to have to try and hit, where the end of Justin Fields' rookie deal matching up with, in 2024 and 25, this team trying to compete. Before then, everything shifts and you have to pay Justin Fields a brand new contract, which then eats into 35-40% of the salary cap.
Yeah.
And so I understand that they're going to build with young players and they're going to start from the bottom. They tore everything down and then now they're going to build back up. But you're going to have to add some talented guys and get creative to, like, really get this team to a competitive nature. In this offseason.
But I think it can be done. And I think you look at teams like the Bucks, you look at teams that don't add that quarterback that are going to be maybe still tanking next year that say, hey, there's only 3 quarterbacks in this draft and we like Caleb Williams or the kid out of North Carolina that's going to be big next year. Or is it Duke?
North Carolina.
And you say, hey, we like those 2 guys better, so we're going to try to be bad for a quarterback next year. And I think the Bucks could be like that team. And then you look at them, you go, hey, you make that phone call. Hey, what's Vita Vea going to cost? What's Devin White going to cost? What's Evans going to cost? You look and say, hey, what are these guys going to cost? Because you want to accumulate assets. You don't have any draft picks. You need to accumulate assets.
Drake May,
that's it. Ask what a Jalen Ramsey would cost. Say, hey, you're not going to be able to pay him. What's Jalen Ramsey cost these days? Like, find that stuff out, do that kind of homework, and just say, hey, would we draft Vita Vea with the second overall or second round pick? Would we draft this person there? Would we do that? Hey, keep that phone line open for us on draft day for that second. If we get another second round pick, Bucks, a higher second round pick than what we currently have, which is 54 right now, keep that phone line open for us. You might be getting that pick. Just saying, keep a line open for us.
Do you want to put into perspective Tom Brady's career as he announces his retirement at age 45?
He's the best quarterback I've ever seen. He's the best quarterback that ever played. He had a great career. His last year sucked. He won a bunch of championships. Congrats.
Well, he was very good in his last year. His last year didn't suck.
He was fine.
Well, he led the league in passing.
He was fine.
That's more than fine.
Did they get to the playoffs?
Yes.
Okay, did they win a playoff game?
No.
Okay, he was fine.
They looked really bad in that game.
Yeah, they did. He was fine.
Dallas killed him.
Yeah, they were fine. He was fine.
Best quarterback I've ever seen play. 7 Super Bowls, 5-time Super Bowl MVP. For the NFL overall in the regular season, a 3-time MVP. And the fact that he only lost 82 games in his career is just it's just incredible to me. On average, for Brady's entire career, he lost 3.5 games per season.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's almost more impressive than the 7 Super Bowl wins, is that he played all of those seasons and he only was averaging 3.5 losses per season, which means, think about throughout the career that he had, each season, the grind from week to week and talking to the media, 3.5 times a year where he would have to respond to, you guys lost, how do you fix things?
Yeah.
Right? Like, we're used to quarterbacks having to respond each and every week to, you lost, how do you fix things? And for Brady's entire career, 3.5 losses per season. That's wild.
The most impressive stat for me is he has more game-winning drives than anybody. Now, obviously, he's played longer, but he has 58 times, 58 games. Think about that. 58 games where he was like, no, you know what? I got this. Like, think about the Super Bowl where they beat the Seahawks. That was one of the best defenses, like, ever. Legion of Boom. Best defenses ever assembled. Think about the comeback against Atlanta. Like, he was just, I can do this. Doesn't matter. I'll throw an iPad. It'll be fine. 58 times he led his team back and won a game on a game-winning drive. Like, that to me is like, because, you know, 3.5 wins or whatever. Like, to me, that's like, that's a team thing, because the defenses were always really good with him in Foxborough and with the Patriots and everything like that. So to me, when it's his job to win the game, 58 times he did it.
He's the perfect example of what, when we were growing up, people always talked about, like, what a quarterback's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the guy that at the end of the game, ball in his hands, makes the right decisions. He made the smart football decision at every opportune time at the end of games. He led his team down the field, the best teammate, straight up the best leader ever of a football team. It really is the perfect example. And then also, if you add in the story that, like, when he came into the NFL, lower draft pick, no hype as far as him being a franchise guy. He's a backup, gets the gig, starts winning, makes smart decisions. He is not making mistakes. And then as his career develops, he became into this elite primetime caliber quarterback, which that's not how he entered the league. I think that adds to how cool and the mystique behind the story of Tom Brady too, is that when he started playing, he wasn't expected to do anything. Just don't mess up, kid.
Yeah.
And then as the seasons went on, he added to his game and then he became the most talented, the best quarterback, and like every step of the way he improved, and it's crazy. And then he got to a point where he was so old that like it was mystifying how he was able to continue to do it, even though we've been seeing him do it for so long. He continued to go out there and play.
Well, think about all the jokers he was throwing to. Like, yeah, he had Randy Moss for a year.
All the jokers.
He had Gronkowski for,
but like Deion Branch, he was good.
Yeah, but think of all the years where like, who the hell is?
Oh yeah,
is like Ben Hogan or that? Who?
Yeah, there was a Hogan. There's
a Hogan. The Edelmans.
Remember Brown?
Every short little white guy out there.
Wasn't there Tory Brown or Terry Brown or something? Or there was a little slot receiver.
Was it Chris Hogan?
Number 80, I think, was Brown's number. Yeah, I mean, because I also remember, you know, we're old enough to remember, like, we were in high school when Brady started. Yeah. So that was, like, prime playing video games and Madden on PS whatever. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, like, no one really ever played with the Patriots because they had such mundane pieces around their defense and Brady that, like, you never picked up the controller like, I'm going to be the Patriots. That's lame. You know, everyone else were the flashier teams at that time.
Yeah. And so, to me, it says a lot, just because you look at the talent around, and every year it's like, well, what are they going to do? And it's like, dude, they're going to figure it out. They'll struggle for those first couple games. They'll win some close games. They might lose one. And people will be like, oh, is it the end? And they're like, nah, they'll figure it out. They'll make the playoffs. They'll make another run.
All right, so there you go. Tom Brady retires, and we will continue with the Bear Down podcast next week, Tuesday and Thursday. It's Super Bowl week. That's right, Super Bowl 57. The Eagles and the Chiefs. We'll break it down right here on the Bear Down podcast, Tuesdays and Thursdays, right here on the ESPN Chicago app. We'll talk to you then next week.